British Sky Broadcasting presents Mission Impossible 3, starring Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt, voiced by Neville Watchhurst on behalf of MCS Agency. The stars of the Paramount logo stream out and encircle the snowy mountain peak.
We've put an explosive charge in your head.
Ethan Hunt, badly beaten, sits handcuffed to a chair.
Does that sound familiar? The rabbit's foot, where is it?
I gave it to you.
Ethan, where's the rabbit's foot?
Wait, what are you saying? That wasn't it? What I gave
I'm
you?
I'm gonna count to 10. You're gonna tell me where the rabbit's foot is, or she dies.
The man turns and places his gun against the temple of a young woman, her mouth gagged with tape. Ethan's eyes widen.
Jules, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay, do you understand?
One.
You listen to me. I got exactly what you asked for. Did you want something else? If there was a misunderstanding, I will fix it. I can get it. Whatever you want.
Two.
Listen. Talk to me. We can talk. Like, gentlemen.
Three.
All right. I know where the rabbit's foot is. I can help you.
The way you helped me on the airplane? That way?
You put the gun down. I'm not talking to you like this.
That's your choice. Four.
Rabbit's foot's in Paris. You want to know where in Paris? Then let her go. Because you will
it's
never...
It's not in Paris. Five.
I can get it for you. But you kill her, you do this, you get nothing. Sure. Are you listening to me? The only way you're gonna get what you want is for you to... No. You think I'm playing? You think I'm playing? You don't think I'll do it? Where is it? Where the hell is it?
Look at me.
Where the hell is it?
Look at me, stay with me.
Seven! I'm gonna kill you. I swear to God, I'm gonna kill you. Eight! Please, don't do this. Just let her go. I promise you. I can figure out how to get whatever you
want. Nine!
Please. Listen to me. I want to help you. I want to help you get whatever you want. But you got to do what's right. What you know is right. No. No. No.
Ten.
Party is in full swing.
What are you doing?
Your brother wants another one.
Oh God, no. Ethan, that's what
look, I know
about.
I'm watching it.
No, but that's
fine.
How it is.
I know.
Rick, he's fine, he's fine. And then suddenly he's naked and he's hugging everybody.
I will take full responsibility
you
for
will.
Rick.
Full.
Well, mostly full.
It's a huge responsibility.
It's going well, Rick.
It's going really well. Oh, Julia, your sister's here. Give me a hug.
He looks so beautiful.
Oh, I don't know about that. So is this him?
I hope so.
He's here. Oh, God. All right, Mom's dying to see you.
Oh, God.
You guys came all the way to Virginia. When Julia called and told me that she was getting married, I had one thought, that it was just too bad that Daddy wasn't here to walk her down the aisle. And then when Julia told me, thanks, Mom, that Ethan doesn't have his parents anymore either, I got really sad. But it occurred to me that this is about starting a new family and how beautiful that is.
And I just want to say, I am making Julia an aunt. So
yes,
I expect the same treatment very, very soon.
Department of Transportation.
I've been there over 10 years now.
And what do you do at the DOT?
I study traffic patterns. You hit the brakes for a second, just tap them on the freeway. You can literally track the ripple effect of that action across a 200-mile stretch of road. Because traffic has a memory. It's amazing. It's like a living organism. Freshen that up for you? Was it vodka martini?
Yeah.
Ladies, do you?
I'd marry him.
I would, too.
Okay, so a 3-week heliboarding honeymoon. Okay, you'd actually get dropped
from a helicopter. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's how they match.
Really?
Oh, tell her the story.
There's no story.
It is a good story. Tell the story.
First of all, no one was ever good enough for Julia.
Oh, here we go.
Not spontaneous enough. Adventurous enough. Funny.
You know what? No, that's not true. You make it sound like I've never dated.
No one we liked.
That is true.
Ethan at the drinks table smiles across at Julia as she chats in the kitchen. He appears to be studying the women's lips. Julia is the young woman threatened with the gun in the opening scene.
She goes and gets on the chopper that takes off from this lake. What was the name of that lake?
Lake Guanaca. Guanaca.
Guanaca. Thank you.
He heard that?
How did he hear that?
And the hospital's cool? He's taking 3 weeks?
Yeah, I'm not the only nurse employed there.
Together.
Sunday.
Oh, I'm psyched that you're gonna be my brother, man.
So am I.
No, it's awesome.
Thanks.
I think it's gonna be sick.
Me too, man. Just, I gotta get the phone.
Hey, you rock hard.
Hello.
Is this Mr. Ethan Hunt?
Yes, it is.
This is Ready Travel Resort Services. We'd like to offer you a chance to win an all-expense-paid trip to Mexico.
The happiness drains from Ethan's face, and he casts a look across the room towards Julia. Ethan kicks open the back door and steps onto the veranda carrying a large bucket of ice cubes, which he pours out into the shrubbery.
We ran out of ice. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Oh, no, can't somebody else go?
Okay. I'll be right back. I bet
you.
Ethan drives his Volvo Estate, complete with dog on the front seat, into the car park of a 7-Eleven store. He enters and walks over to stand next to a display of crisps. Another man stands nearby with his back turned.
Thanks for coming. Can't decide what size Slurpee to get.
I usually go for the 900 ounce.
How's the party? Sorry I had to call you.
Hey, you should have come.
You should have invited me.
You know I would have.
Thanks. I know we joke about it, but I am always this close to begging you to stop training our people and get your ass back in the field, but that's not what you do anymore, and so I respect that choice. You know I do. Families. Everything.
Come on, John, what's going on, huh?
It's Agent Ferris. She was on an operation. She's disappeared. Been off grid 11 hours. I'm sending in search and rescue. I was hoping you'd want in.
Ethan seems to be giving this some thought.
You've got good people for that.
Yeah. Yep, that we do. Wheels up at sunrise if you have a change of heart. Take some pictures of the party for me.
John walks away, leaving a disposable camera dangling on a hook. Ethan stares at it. Now seated at a desk in his house, he rips open the packet and pulls out the camera. He holds it close to his eye. A narrow red beam flashes across his iris. On the screen of the camera, the message flashes up, "Identity confirmed, Ethan Hunt."
Ethan. 3 days ago, Agent Lindsay Ferris was captured while on a surveillance operation. This is the man she was tracking. His name is Owen Davian. Details are eyes only, but I can tell you that Davian's a black market trafficker. Extremely dangerous and a priority for us. At 1400 hours today, a recon satellite ID'd a caravan of vehicles with plates matching those known to have been used by Davian's operatives. They stopped at a derelict factory outside Berlin. It appears they have a hostage. We believe it's Agent Ferris. Normally we would disavow, but Lindsay may be the key to getting us closer to Davian, and that's a risk we need to take. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to find Lindsay and bring her home. I've already assembled a team. I have them standing by awaiting your word. This message, let's call it my excellent engagement gift to you, will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Good luck, Ethan, and thanks again.
Ethan remains staring intently at the camera. It belches out a cloud of white smoke. The smoke curls around Ethan's head as he stays stock still.
Am I ready?
Ethan jerks awake and sits up in bed. Julia, lying next to him, sits up slightly and strokes his back.
You okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
He lies back down. His eyes remain open as Julia snuggles in close. His expression becomes increasingly troubled.
I'm sorry, I realized I didn't tell you that the office called. During the party, I have to go to Houston for a night. Metro's having a public transport conference.
So last minute.
I know.
Ethan, helmetless, rides a powerful motorcycle at speed along a main road. He arrives at an airfield. A plane stands on the runway, seemingly ready for takeoff. As Ethan parks up, people start getting out of vehicles nearby. They are the trio identified as his team in the secret message: a slim young man, Declan Gormley, a beautiful Oriental woman, Zhen Li, and a powerfully built black man, Luther Stickle.
Well, well, well. Now, if it isn't Mr. Those Who Can't Do, Teach, back in the field. What's up, baby?
Hey, man.
Ethan, don't worry. We're gonna get the girl. But have you been away so long, you've forgotten how good we are? Welcome back, brother.
Smoking factory chimneys are reflected in a puddle. A title reads Berlin, Germany. Ethan runs at speed through the puddle, carting on his shoulder an enormous machine gun which he sets up on a large tripod. He then runs back athletically to join Luther in the lee of a wrecked van.
Is that truck in place?
Mm-hmm.
Weapons good to go?
Yeah, you?
Yeah.
No, I got your six.
Hey, man. That's your job.
Ethan and Luther break cover. Ethan runs one way while Luther moves circumspectly along by a row of railway trucks. He climbs into the cab of what appears to be an antiquated van. Moving through a hatch door, he emerges into a den of electronic wizardry. He sits at the console and presses a button. The machine guns seem to respond to Luther's remote controls.
All four guns operational. They've got men on the second, third, fourth floors. I count 14 of them.
Observer, come in approach position.
Roger that. Stand by.
The guns take aim. Luther views inside the building by means of thermal imaging. Farris sits bound in a chair.
The prize is on the sixth floor. Two tangos with him.
Move it in.
Ethan moves swiftly out from his cover and makes for the building. He runs along a corridor of the apparently derelict factory and peers out from behind a pillar. He removes a small metal canister from his weapon belt.
At some point, we gotta go over this whole getting married thing.
Negative, Observer. I don't respect you nearly enough to have that conversation.
You may not respect me, but for now, you're stuck with my voice in your head. So this girl, what the hell do you see in her anyway?
Who, Julia? You've never met her.
Yeah, and the way things are, I probably never will.
Lucky for her, right? That's what you think.
We got communications gear. Two tangos. Second floor, northwest corridor.
Groundhog, that's you. You need to grab that gear on the second floor as soon as we go hot.
Copy that. I'll need 2 minutes. Which means you'll need me in one, right?
Yeah, just about. Raider one.
Make a left at the top of the stairs. The prize should be at the end of the hall.
Zen, in another part of the building, operates oxyacetylene cutting equipment. Ethan continues onward cautiously. He attaches a second of his canisters, now flashing red, to the metal framework of the building. He spots Faris slumped in a chair guarded by several hostiles.
Phoenix, I have earned the prize.
A short man with a strangely lopsided face and a shock of curly hair stands over Faris. Ethan withdraws behind a pillar.
When you touch down, listen three, do you copy?
Roger that, I copy.
Please, when do I not copy? All I do is copy.
Declan starts up a helicopter.
Stand by to go live. On my mark. 3, 2, 1. Execute.
Ethan detonates the magnetic charges he has placed around the building. Zen squeezes a plunger which appears to short-circuit all the lights in the building. Luther activates the machine guns. Broken glass cascades down and villains fall to the floor.
Greater One, you're clear, move!
Ethan bursts into where Faris is being held.
Lindsay.
Ethan.
Let me get you home.
Observer, I've got the prize. Evac in 3.
Roger that.
Ethan loosens her bonds and then produces a powerful syringe which he holds above her heart.
It's adrenaline, Lindsay.
You're gonna feel this.
Lindsay gasps and her eyes go wide as Ethan plunges in the needle. Luther continues his bombardment. Zen, armed with a machine gun, runs through the factory.
Ground on second floor is clear.
On the move.
Zen runs into a room and begins folding up some heavy-duty laptop computers. One of the villains with his last gasp pulls the pin on a grenade. Zen runs and launches herself through a plate glass window.
Observer, we're on the move. Wrap out. Evac in 90 seconds.
Roger that. Phoenix, get to the LZ now.
Roger, observer. On my way.
On Luther's order, Declan dusts off in the helicopter. Luther climbs back into the cab of the van and reverses out. The curly-haired villain picks himself up off the floor.
Ethan, I have to talk to you. I have to talk to him now.
Just for you. Turn off your transmitter.
Do it, Ethan!
Ethan and Lindsay come under attack and take cover on separate sides of a doorway. Seeing an attacker coming from a new direction, Lindsay calls to Ethan.
Ethan!
He deftly lobs her a powerful pistol.
Lindsay, moving!
The pair break cover and move ahead in deadly synchronization. Loaded, they renew their onslaught. Zen, having survived the grenade blast, returns to retrieve the now badly damaged computers. She smashes a chair through one of the exterior windows and leaps down, first onto a lean-to roof and then onto the ground.
Get back from here.
How many rounds you got?
Enough.
Ethan seems to be psyching himself up. He breaks cover and spins round to face the man pinning them down. The man flies out through a window.
Now, Matt.
T-minus 5, baby.
Luther backs the van up at speed to the factory wall. Ethan looks out from the window to the van far below. He loops a cable over a beam and grabs Lindsay.
Lindsay, hold on to me.
He lobs in one final canister which sticks to a gas pipe and then abseils down the side of the building. Zen appears and makes for the van. Ethan and Lindsay land on the roof. Villains congregate on the upper floor. the magnetic mine explodes, sending flames surging out from the upper floor, Luther powers away with Ethan and Lindsay clinging to the roof. Embers rain down on them. As they race away, the helicopter wheels down. The van races towards it. As it touches down, the van screeches to a halt, catapulting Ethan and Lindsay to the ground.
My head! What is that? What is that?
Is she okay? Lindsay, let's get to the chopper! Zen, get rid of the truck!
Let's go!
Zen plants a bomb on the truck and runs to join the others in the helicopter. Lindsay seems in great pain.
God, what is that? You can't hear that?
What's wrong with her?
Let's go!
We loaded!
Yeah, let's do it! Move out!
Another helicopter bears down on them.
Go, 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 go!
Lindsay clutches at her head. The timer on the bomb attached to the truck flashes red. As the enemy chopper passes, the truck explodes in a roiling plume of orange flame. The helicopter, however, emerges unscathed from the inferno.
Son of a bitch!
No!
Guys, we got company! I'm gonna try and lose them!
Not so much!
Declan, pursued by the enemy aircraft, flies low into a forest of wind turbines, weaving among their vast spinning blades. Ethan, meanwhile, rummages in his bag and produces some kind of hand scanner with which he examines Lindsay's head. He spots some kind of capsule embedded deep in her skull.
Guys, the missiles are on!
The enemy chopper launches a missile.
It's coming, hold on!
Declan weaves to avoid the heat-seeking missile. It plunges into the base of one of the turbines, toppling it. The turbine crashes to the ground as both helicopters race away. Ethan continues nursing Lindsay.
We have the defibrillator!
Ethan, turn it off!
Bring it on!
Ethan, what is it? They put something in my head!
They injected you with a time-release charge, remember that?
No, time-release!
An explosive! They've activated, it's gonna detonate unless we try to charge, which is what we're gonna
do. No, Ethan, you zap her like that, you'll stop a heart!
Then I'll zap her again and bring her back!
Do it!
Guys, they're firing another one!
The enemy chopper releases another missile. Luther fires off a flare to act as a decoy.
Zen!
Zen, hold on! Hold on, hold on!
Zen has slipped out of the cabin of the helicopter and clings for dear life to the defibrillator Ethan clutches. The second missile collides with a set of turbine blades, smashing them apart and sending one of the arms plummeting down among a flock of sheep.
Set it for 150.
Lindsay,
I'm going to short out the explosive with your hand. You're going to be okay.
It'll need 30 seconds.
Damn it.
25 seconds.
Come on.
We're almost there.
They had us locked.
20 seconds.
Hold on.
Declan banks steeply and flies directly through a set of rotating turbine blades. The chopper pursuing them follows the same course, but is sliced in two by the blades.
Woo! I got him!
Ten seconds.
Almost there, almost there. Give me the paddles.
Ethan, thank you.
Ethan stares in horror as Lindsay's head jerks and her eyes go glazed. The machine finishes charging just seconds too late to save her. The others look around, realizing that they have lost their comrade. Ethan levers Lindsay's inert body up and holds her tight. Ethan Ethan stares ahead, tears pricking his eyes. The helicopter continues on through the turbines. Ethan's clean and airy house. He enters, almost as if still in a daze, and walks slowly in. Julia appears.
Hey.
Hey.
How'd it go?
I'm sorry. Fine, I'm sorry.
She moves across to him, smiling, and takes him in her arms. His face softens, but the worry remains in his eyes. Julia's expression seems to imply that her concerns run deeper than she is letting on. Latex-gloved hands unzip a body bag, revealing Lindsay's corpse.
I read your training brief on Agent Ferris. The words you used were beyond capable. That still stand, Mr. Hunt?
Mr. Brassel,
does it stand?
Yes, sir, it does.
Because we've got a corpse downstairs that says otherwise. Killed by a detonator implanted in her skull through the nasal cavity.
Mr. Brassel, it's unacceptable to judge Agent Ferris's competence.
It's unacceptable the chocolate makes you fat, but I've eaten my share, and guess what? Now, I approved Agent Ferris's surveillance op based on your evaluations, Mr. Hunt, of a woman who allowed herself to be captured. So you go to recover her. You encounter a dozen men. You don't grab any of them?
Our objective, Mr. Brassel, was to recover Agent Ferris. David employs a cellular structure to his organization. The men there more than likely had no information.
Who's drawing these conclusions? Is it you?
I am, sir. Based upon...
I'm not on you yet. You allowed Ferris to board your chopper without a scan. That explosive device could have taken you all out. There is one reason that you are sitting here before me today, and that is luck. Because your operation was poorly conceived and executed worse.
Two laptops were recovered.
I'm aware of that. We've talked to tech services. They doubt if they can reconstitute the drives. Crispy, I believe, is what they called them. Worthless.
Mr. Brassel, as operation manager of this office, I have the authority.
Excuse me, did you just throw a title at me, Mr. Musgrave? I don't care if your daddy plays golf with the president. This is intelligence. So far, I haven't seen any. You think this op was worth the risk, Mr. Hunt? What do you know about Owen Davey? He was the one who brought gas centrifuge technology to Korea from Pakistan. He was also the man who sold Toxin 5 to the Armahad Republic Jihad. He is a man who provides. And he remains invisible. He's a goddamn invisible man. Wells, not Ellison, in case you want to be cute again. We can't find him. He knows it. It's emboldened him. I've been trying to bring Davian down since the day that I got here. Do you know what I've got for it?
It's never been confirmed the Toxin 5 theft was...
Mr. Musgrave, please don't interrupt me when I'm asking rhetorical questions. Your operation has achieved one thing. You have reminded Davian that he is winning. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go inform Mr. and Mrs. Ferris that their baby girl was killed in a head-on collision on I-95.
I stand here today deeply saddened by the death of one of God's children, Lindsay Elizabeth Ferris. It is always startling when the Lord takes one of our young so unexpectedly. And it is...
Be aggressive. You must stay focused.
Because Lindsay lived...
Good. Fire the lock. The extractor has to be...
That bag's not going to get you back. Hit harder. Don't rely on your sights. Hit harder.
Keep your eyes dead on the target.
Attack me. Come on.
Don't ever release the firing pin. Unless the extractor's up against you.
Good.
Identify the target. Point and shoot. It's very simple. Point and shoot.
Stay focused.
Miss Ferris, you know how many recruits I've trained. I'm proud to say that you are the first that I've recommended for active field duty. Congratulations.
Am I ready?
Ethan at the graveside is drawn back to the present by his phone.
Yes?
Is this Mr. Calvin?
Yes. Who is this?
I'm calling from Norfolk Mail Service. Lindsay Ferris rents a post office box here. She sent you a piece of mail from Berlin and asked us to call you when it arrived. It came this morning.
post office official opens a locked box and hands Ethan a picture postcard of Berlin. All that is written on it is the address. He examines it, then peels back the stamp. Sandwiched underneath is a small black speck. Luther to Ethan.
It's a microdot. A microdot with nothing on it. This is unusual.
Lindsay wouldn't send me a blank microdot.
I'm telling you, man, there's no image.
And you're not looking in the right place.
Look, where the hell am I supposed to look? There's not much square footage to this
thing. Why would Lindsay send me a blank microdot?
I don't know. Why would Lindsay send you anything? You were her instructor, not a handler. Listen, man, I don't mean to cross the line, but was there something going on between you two? You and Lindsay?
Lindsay was like my little sister.
And you never slept with your little sister, right?
Ethan turns slowly.
Hey, brother, if I don't ask you, who will?
Maybe it's magnetic. A microdot.
It's old school. If she was in a hurry and only had access to black market gear, maybe.
Can you get the tools to read it?
I might know a guy.
Magnetic means encrypted.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. Be right there. The thing about Lindsay, she was brand new. She was sweet. Remember when you were sweet? Can you remember that far back?
Barely.
In Germany, he asked me what it is I see in Julia. What I see in Julia is life before all this. And it's good.
Luther absorbs this thoughtfully.
Benji, what do you got?
Well, these hard drive platters are just fried, you know. They're just like the mess of them. It's just like there's holes in them and stuff, and it's got scorched all the way through. And then there's a... Look, this one's got a hole in it and stuff. I can't believe it. I can't even look at it.
Benji, did you recover anything?
Yes, yes. Despite the aforementioned conditions of the hard drive you brought back, I managed to recover portions of 24 email files, also made what I believe to be a thoroughly promotion-worthy breakthrough. Your Mr. Davian is going to arrive in Rome the day after tomorrow and attend a function at One Vatican City.
What the hell is Davian doing at the Vatican?
It's all got to do with the rabbit's foot.
Rabbit's foot?
Yeah, well, I'm assuming it's like a code word for something he's about to sell to an unspecified buyer for $850 million, by the way. Or maybe it's not a code word, maybe it's just a really, really expensive bunny appendage.
You have no idea what it is?
It's interesting. I used to have this professor at Oxford, okay, Dr. Wickham. His name was seems like this massive fat guy, you know, a huge big guy. We used to call him, you know, but I won't tell what we used to call him. But he taught biomolecular kinetics and cellular dynamics. And he used to sort of scare the underclassmen with this story about how the world would eventually be eviscerated by technology. You see, it was inevitable that a compound would be created, which he referred to as the anti-god. It was like an accelerated mutator, a sort of, you know, like an unstoppable force of destructive power that would just lay waste to everything, to buildings and parks and streets and children and ice cream parlors, you know? So whenever I see like a rogue organization willing to spend this amount of money on a mystery tech, I always assume it's the anti-god. End of the world kind of stuff, you know? But no, I don't have any idea what it is. I was just speculating.
Did you brief Musgrave on this?
With me? No, not yet.
Good. Don't.
What?
Don't tell anyone about
this. It took me ages.
If something goes wrong with the operation, I want Musgrave to have deniability. It's great work, Benji.
What operation? That look in your eye is a pain in my ass. You know that, right?
Julia, in green nurse's uniform, stands in a hospital corridor conversing with a white-coated doctor. She looks up and smiles. Further down the corridor stands Ethan. They signal to each other. Nighttime, on a rooftop, Ethan talks to Julia.
I have to go away again. No business. 2 days.
2 days?
Yeah.
Ethan, what's going on? Thinking you just need time to tell me whatever it is that it's but nothing in my mind makes sense. What's wrong?
Ethan, troubled, looks away to one side.
What are you not telling me?
Ethan shakes his head as if struggling to find the right words.
I need to ask you for something. It's the most... I need you to trust me.
Am I ever going to be able to understand what this is?
I need you to trust me.
Yes. I trust you. Tell me it's real. I mean us. Tell me it's real.
Follow me.
In the hospital chapel.
The vows you're about to take are not to be taken without careful thought and prayer. This love is not to be diminished by difficult circumstances, and it is only to be dissolved by death. Do you have the rings?
The beaming Julia giggles as Ethan reaches into a paper carrier bag and pulls out a pair of polythene-wrapped novelty rings, one of which features a panda. He holds them up. By now, even the priest is smiling.
Repeat after me. I, Julia Ann Mead.
I, Julia Ann Mead.
Hereby take Ethan Matthew Hunt.
Hereby take Ethan Matthew Hunt.
To be my lawfully wedded husband.
To be my lawfully wedded husband.
In what appears to be a pharmaceutical storeroom, Ethan and Julia embrace passionately. She pulls his top off. He pulls her top off.
Tomorrow may be the only time we can predict where Owen Davian is going to be. Charity event, Vatican City. Our mission is to get in and kidnap Davian.
I don't know why he's so happy. I did remind him that the Vatican is the Vatican. A 109-acre sovereign state in the middle of Rome, surrounded by a 60-foot wall, which is monitored 24-7 with over 200 CCTV cameras.
That's not even what makes it a challenge. Getting Davian is good. But getting his buyers is even better. If they realize he's been grabbed, they'll disappear.
I'm sorry, what are you saying? No matter how we grab Davian, his clients are gonna know he's been taken.
No, they won't. Access point is here. It's a one-way street adjacent to the Vatican wall. I'll need 30 seconds. We'll need a truck.
Ethan, uniformed, pulls to a halt in the street in question in a bright yellow DHL van. He opens the bonnet. Declan, also in uniform, leaps out and starts arguing with Ethan.
Now we've pissed off every Italian in Rome, go do what you gotta do.
Don't forget to smoke.
Declan flicks on a smoke machine under the bonnet. Ethan marches away from the scene of the staged breakdown. He walks parallel to the high Vatican wall. He pulls out a gun. He aims upwards and shoots what appears to be a miniature electronic gadget onto the coping stone of the high wall. The CCTV goes dead. An official makes a phone call.
Abbiamo un problema con la camera 121.
Ethan now shoots a metal bolt into the stone balustrade. From the bolt runs a cable attached to a reel on his belt. He now pounds up the vertical wall, reeled in by the cable. Beyond the wall rises the Vatican. Ethan scales the top and throws himself down beside the camera.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall.
Declan shuts the bonnet and smiles at the crowd.
È tutto perfetto. Nella grazie. Vabbè, dai, non c'è problema. Ciao. Buon lavoro a te. Ciao.
Ethan, still lying on his back on the wall, takes out a tiny camera and takes a shot as if from the CCTV camera's point of view. He processes the shot and slots it into a frame, which he hangs directly in front of the CCTV camera lens. He removes the bug and the security official's screen reactivates. The man appears satisfied with the still shot on the screen.
Lascia stare, tutto ritornato in ordine. Grazie, tutto in ordine.
Ethan points a tiny device over the Vatican City side of the wall. A red electronic gauge registers 16 meters. Rolling over the parapet, he falls like a skydiver, trusting the cable to support him and stop his fall centimeters from the gravel path below. Stepping behind a tree, he rips off his DHL disguise. The orange overalls are whipped back upwards by the cable as Ethan emerges in black priest's soutane and skullcap.
Buongiorno, padre.
Buongiorno. Ethan exchanges a greeting with another priest in the garden. Beneath the waters of the Tiber, a frogman turns a metal-cutting torch on a heavy metal grill across the mouth of a meter-wide outlet pipe.
Alpha Team, this is Bravo. Right on schedule. We should have breach in 60.
Roger that. Charlie Team, report.
Well, I don't have anything to report, really. Except I think I should be right on time.
We'll be waiting.
ETA 2 minutes.
Roger that.
Declan, now dressed as a tourist, gets out of the van and walks across St. Peter's Square. Ethan descends an ancient staircase, emerging by the gleaming high-tech security nerve center. The official Ethan duped with his still photo looks up somewhat suspiciously as he passes. Ethan continues on. He picks the lock of a heavily barred door and gains access to a room full of computer hardware. From his hollowed-out Bible, he produces a tiny computer which he connects up to the mainframe with crocodile clips.
Charlie Team, did you fire the tracer yet?
Stand by.
Declan, wandering through a corridor of fine marble statuary, now goes to the open window overlooking the square and aims his telephoto lens down at a metal drain cover.
Firing the tracer. Now.
He shoots a tiny device onto the metal disc. The frogman removes the grill from the outlet.
Alpha, I'm in. T-minus 2 minutes.
Roger that.
Ethan's tiny screen plays a video feed of Declan in the gallery.
Charlie Team, I see you. I'm looping the security feed. Stand by to move.
Roger that.
Video's looped. Go.
Declan ducks through a doorway and runs at speed through the luxurious marble corridors of the Vatican. He bursts through double doors. A circular hole is being cut from the inside of a large metal pipe. Luther, the frogman, emerges.
Alpha Team, catacomb video taken care of?
Taken care of. We're good to go.
Ethan, now out of his priest's robes, marches through catacombs. Declan fits together a military uniform from his bag.
Delta Team, do you copy?
All I do is copy.
That's funny. Get ready to move into position.
I'm already there.
Really?
ETA 30 seconds.
See you in 30.
Zen speeds through the streets of Rome in an orange Lamborghini. Ethan runs through the semi-darkened cellars.
Alpha Team moving into position.
Bravo, standing by for transmission.
Transmitting.
Gotcha.
Luther and Ethan, on either side of a thick wall, locate each other. Luther drills through and they rig up an explosive charge to breach the wall. Zen drives up to the gates of the Vatican. Miss Onia de Mea, I should be on the list, thank you. The guard checks. I'm sorry, your name is not here. There must be some mistake. Declan, now dressed like the other guards, runs up and leans down by the window of Zen's car.
Signorina De Mea?
Sì.
Solo un istante.
Just a minute. He takes the other guard to one side.
Signorina, doveva essere in lista. È colpa mia.
The startling orange sports car spins across the cobbled square. A flunky opens the door and Zen, dressed to kill, steps serenely out. In a red dress, slashed so many ways as to leave very little to the imagination, she glides through an affluent crowd. Swiss guards stand on duty. A string quartet plays. Ethan, Luther and Declan congregate in the catacombs below.
Eccellenze, signore e signori, questo evento fa parte di una felice tradizione che mi permette di ringraziarvi per il vostro generoso contributo.
As a priest addresses the assembled guests, Davian, shadowed by two sidekicks, wanders through, arrogantly snatching a drink from the tray of a passing waiter.
We have a photo opportunity. Just give me the word. I'm standing by.
Delta ready for upload.
Zen produces a small compact from her purse and glides nonchalantly through the crowd, apparently adjusting her makeup. The compact, however, has a tiny lens which she focuses on Davian, transmitting images to her colleagues below.
Delta team, download good.
From a case, Ethan pulls out a dummy head. Over this, he slips a hood of foam. The precise contours of Davian's face are downloaded.
Listen, man, I didn't mean to be so cavalier the other day about you getting engaged.
I know that. Thanks.
But a normal relationship is inviolable for people like us.
I don't agree with that.
Then I'm smarter than you.
I'm going up. I agree with Luther. We can't have real relationships. But you see, I love that.
Declan chirpily crawls away through a low tunnel. Luther and Ethan remain with the computer, which seems to be programming a very cunning machine to precision carve the foam mask into Davian's features. Declan climbs through a tight network of rafters beneath soaring stained glass windows.
23 months, that's as long as it'll last when you got the baggage we do and the lifestyle we got.
Really?
Yeah, really. Look at me. I know what I'm talking about. And you know I know what I'm talking about.
Ethan slips on some kind of padded shirt. Luther spray paints the Davian mask. Davian at the reception answers his phone.
Wait here.
Zen looks on as he walks away. She follows at a discreet distance as he walks out of the main hall. He stands for a moment in a side aisle lined with plants in huge marble urns, then bends to pick up a slim briefcase stashed down the side of one of these.
Davian just picked up a briefcase. We're gonna have to move sooner than we thought.
Can you identify who made the drop?
Negative. How close are you guys?
We're just spreading now.
Luther activates a machine which begins to precision spray color onto the mask. As the pigment takes hold from top to bottom, the mask assumes an eerily lifelike quality. Declan takes a hammer to a set of window bars. Sandy eyebrows and a wig are applied to the mask.
I'm not proud of it, I'm not happy about it, but I've lived with women a few times and it doesn't ever make it to 2 years. You can't.
Thanks for the advice, but it's different for me than it is for you. I'm not in the field anymore.
Oh, okay. Here's a retirement present.
Ethan slips the latex hood over his own head.
In our job, there's always going to be something between you and a woman. Always.
Luther, listen.
Dishonesty. A dishonesty that poisons everything.
I think I need to tell you something.
Stop talking. This isn't about you, Ethan. And whoever this girl is, you're going to end up messing up her life, too. Don't do it.
Jules and I got married 2 days ago.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks.
The real Davian comes back into the hall.
He's walking. I'm going in.
Roger that. I'm on my way.
No, it's fine. I always spill red wine on my white custom made shirt.
Okay.
It's fine.
Tell me you're on your way.
I'm on the move.
The real Davian, doused in red wine but not greatly delayed, walks on. Ethan, as Davian, swings up through the rafters towards Declan.
Bodyguards are taking
me
to the bathroom.
I'm almost there.
Ethan crawls at speed through a low passageway. Davian's immense bodyguard strolls into the glitter and gilt of the luxurious Vatican bathroom. He walks slowly past a row of urinals, checks inside a cubicle, then heads out again past a row of marble tables bearing lavish flower arrangements. As the man leaves, Ethan, in the guise of Davian, pulls out a gilded grill in the wall and slips into the bathroom. Zen observes the real Davian.
He's going in.
Davian enters the bathroom. He places the walnut briefcase on one of the marble tables and lights a cigarette. he removes his jacket. Turning on the tap, he bends to soak a pad with which to scrub his wine-stained shirt. As he straightens up, he sees reflected in the mirror Ethan, indistinguishable from himself, standing behind him. Ethan attacks.
Quiet. Read this. Slowly. Read it.
The pleasure of Busby's company is what I most enjoy. He put a tack on Miss Yancey's chair when she called him a horrible boy.
At the end of the month.
Flinging two kittens across the width of the room. I count on his schemes to reveal that. What the hell is this?
Finish!
Alpha, you're about to have a visitor.
Finish!
The way to escape my gloom.
Got it.
Ethan plugs Davian with a tranquilizer dart. Declan emerges through the grill. The bodyguard approaches.
Alpha, do you copy? The guard's on his way.
Delta, stall him. I need more time.
It's too late for that. He's in the hallway.
Ethan and Declan exchange a look. Ethan sprays his immaculate white shirt with red. As the guard enters, Ethan stands at the basin swabbing his shirt.
Sir, is everything all right?
Everything is not all right. Voice mask is still compiling.
I need 30 seconds.
Declan and Davian lurk behind the door. Ethan looks at the bodyguard.
Sir?
Stalling desperately, Ethan fakes a coughing fit.
Sir?
The guard advances. Ethan imperiously gestures for the man to go back out.
6 seconds, I'm uploading. Okay, go.
Fine, wait outside.
The bodyguard seems suspicious, but finally obeys. Ethan casts a look towards Declan, his eyes widening as if to say, that was close. Declan slides towards the floor as if in agreement.
See you in the sewer.
As the bogus Davian leaves the reception, he brushes past Zen.
When you see Lady Samgas in Gamma, sorry about your shirt.
That's no problem.
Moment, Kai.
I'll tell Dame Yao say something.
Her hotel has laundry service and she'll happily take care of it.
You want to wash my shirt? What are we going to do while we're waiting in your hotel room and I'm not wearing my shirt?
She'll think of something. She would like to drive.
Call me to the hotel.
Sir, would you like us to watch the case?
No. Nice job.
Thank you.
Declan heaves Davian's inert body along a passage. He now lowers the body on a rope through the forest of beams. Luther runs through a sewer, seemingly scanning the vaulted ceiling for an exit. He climbs up through a shaft. Zhen maneuvers the orange Lamborghini through the cobbled square, seemingly guided by computer to the drain cover previously bugged by Declan. She pulls up over the drain cover. Ethan presses a button, causing the floor of the car to slide away. Beneath, the drain cover is slid aside and Luther emerges.
What's up?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Nothing.
Ethan hands the briefcase down to Luther. They both then slip out through the bottom of the car and through the drain hole. Davian's bodyguards suspiciously watch the stationary sports car. Down in the sewer, Ethan peels off the latex mask.
Pull the car.
It's such a nice car.
And yet,
do it.
The Lamborghini explodes in a vast ball of flame as orange as its own striking paint job. The team power along the Tiber in a lavish speedboat. Behind them in the distance, a plume of black smoke rises above the Vatican. At IMF HQ, John Musgrave sits at a large conference table. He consults a small electronic device.
Mr. Musgrave, to see you.
Send him in.
Ethan Hunt and his team just grabbed the Owen Davian in Rome. They're headed back now. I thought you should know.
You were aware of this operation?
Yes, I was.
And good work.
Thank you.
Musgrave's boss sits motionless and as if contemplating a complex problem. A medium-sized jet plane soars through a bank of clouds. Davian, his hands bound with pull ties, his shirt still wine-stained, appears to be regaining consciousness. His eyes swivel, finally focusing on Ethan's fresh, clean-cut face smiling quizzically at him.
You're dead, Mr. Davian. There are witnesses.
I was you in the bathroom.
And you're gonna tell us everything. Every buyer you've worked with, every organization.
What the hell is your name?
Names, contacts, inventory lists.
You have a wife, girlfriend?
It's up to you how this goes.
Because you know what I'm gonna do next? I'm gonna find her. Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
You were apprehended carrying details of the location of something codenamed the Rabbit's Foot.
I'm gonna make her bleed and cry and call out your name. And you're not gonna be able to do shit. You know why?
What is a Rabbit's Foot?
Because you're gonna be this close to dead.
And who is the buyer?
And then I'm gonna kill you right in front of her.
I'm gonna ask you one more time.
What's your name?
What is a Rabbit's Foot?
Who are you?
And who's the buyer?
You don't have any idea what the hell's going on, do you? I mean, you saw what I did to your little blonde friend at the factory, right? Oh, well, that was nothing. That was fun. That's fun.
Ethan, pushed to the limit, now pushes back. He hauls Davian in the metal seat to which he is tied to the rear of the hold. Davian glances nervously around. Ethan kicks the mechanism which causes the floor to open. He tips the terrified Davian over so that he is suspended over the opening and then presses the button to open the outer hatch. Glacial air rushes in. Ethan bounces Davian over the void.
What is the Rabbit's Foot?
Ethan takes a knife and cuts one of Davian's bonds, causing him to drop a gut-wrenching 2 feet.
Ethan, what is the Rabbit's Foot? Ethan, stop!
He continues to slice through Davian's bonds.
Ethan, stop! Don't do it! This isn't you, man! This isn't you! We can use him, Ethan! You know that!
Ethan hesitates with the knife poised over what looks like the last cord.
No, Ethan! Don't do it! Please, stop!
Ethan agonizes for a long moment. He then wrenches the metal bench back up, throwing Davian brutally to the floor. He punches the button to close the hatches. Ethan sinks to the floor, staring ahead and breathing heavily. Declan and Luther look on warily.
What I'm selling, and who I'm selling to, is the last thing you should be concerned about. Ethan.
Ethan turns his head slowly to look at Davian as if horribly aware that he has made himself vulnerable. A convoy of vehicles drives alongside the jet plane. Davian is escorted off the plane by a number of armed agents in sunglasses. Ethan goes to get into a vehicle. Davian throws him a glance as he is placed inside a prison van. Ethan exchanges a look with Luther. The convoy heads out across one of the twin strands of an incredibly long road bridge spanning a 2 or 3 kilometer expanse of blue water. Ethan sits in the rear of a large SUV with Luther.
Ethan, we got it. Lindsay's microdot. It's a video file.
Ethan, I don't know what they told you. I don't know what you think. Just listen to me. Brassel sent me to Germany to surveil an exchange to ID a man named Owen Davian. I tagged his phone and I intercepted a transmission. I traced traced the call through the IMF network, and this is what came up. The call to Davian came from Brassel's office. It's Brassel. I think he's working with Davian. I think I'm being set up.
The picture on the screen shows that Brassel is Musgrave's boss. One of the vehicles behind Ethan's SUV spins through the air and lands on its roof. Chaos ensues. The convoy is under rocket attack. Vehicles collide. Missiles slam into the concrete structure of the bridge. Ethan and Luther's vehicle is hit and flipped onto its roof. It comes to a halt above a yawning chasm in the carriageway. A drone plane swoops overhead. Ethan and Luther crawl out through the windows. Ethan looks around, dazed. He clambers out from the upturned SUV. Behind him, rising up over the parapet of the bridge, appears a military helicopter carrying a payload of masked troops. Ethan and Luther run for cover and begin returning fire against the helicopter. Zen leaps from a vehicle and does likewise.
There's a woman down.
I see her.
Luther runs to the aid of a wounded civilian. Declan jumps down from a vehicle and takes cover. Ethan observes the huge helicopter as it wheels round further down the bridge. He starts off towards it at a fast run. Vaulting the bonnet of a car, he runs to the prison van.
Open up! Open up! I need the prisoner!
The driver's window shatters. Ethan raises his pistol and returns fire against the helicopter overhead. Now out of ammunition, he returns at high speed the way he came.
Oh my God! It's really bleeding. Don't leave me, okay?
Don't worry, I'm right here. Ethan, there's a G36 in the truck!
I know!
Ethan runs frantically towards the overturned truck, slides to his knees and scrambles underneath it. Meanwhile, black-clad troops are abseiling down ropes from the helicopter. A group of the masked soldiers spray the side of the prison van with an orange-colored foam. A gunman in the helicopter spots Ethan in his sights. He turns and issues an order, which is subtitled. Turn the drone around, there's an IMF agent in the truck. The unmanned plane wheels around and launches a missile towards Ethan. Luther spots this.
Ethan, get out of the truck!
Ethan's eyes widen at the approaching missile.
Ethan, move!
Ethan slides a case out from the truck and then runs for his life. The missile slams into the truck. The blast throws Ethan off his feet and slamming into a car. The drone passes inches above his head. Ethan struggles to balance himself for a moment and then runs and picks up the case. He opens it and begins to piece together the huge machine gun inside. The troops whack the patch of foam on the side of the prison van. The metal shatters like glass. Davian sits within, half smiling at his liberators. The drone makes another pass towards Ethan, who works with redoubled urgency at assembling the gun. He fires on the drone and brings it down. He now turns his attention towards the prison van, setting off at a desperate run. Davian's chains are broken by the troops, and he leaps from the van. Ethan lobs the heavy gun across the gaping breach in the causeway of the bridge. He then hurls himself across the void. Failing to quite make it, he is left clinging to the jagged edge of the smashed bridge, dangling high above the water below. As he struggles to get back up, Davian runs, surrounded by a posse of troops, towards the awaiting helicopter. Ethan looks down at the water. Then, with a superhuman effort, he hauls himself up onto the roadway. He grabs the gun and runs. Davian sits in the open side hatch of the helicopter as it climbs away, his expression unmistakably smug. Ethan gains as much height as he can by leaping up onto a car. As his magazine empties, he gazes up at the disappearing figure of the evil Davian with an expression of utter frustration and defeat.
Hello.
Rick, this is Ethan. Is Julia home?
Hey, man. Hey, look, I hope you're not mad I'm here.
Rick, I'm not mad. Is Julia home? I tried her cell phone and there was no answer.
No, sorry. Hey, did your friend find you?
Which friend?
I don't know, just some English guy.
Rick, what are you telling
him? Look, it's all good, man. I told him I didn't know where you were and Julia might, and he's just trying at the hospital. Hello?
Ethan leaps into an open-topped Mercedes and races away. Julia, at the hospital.
All right, see you tomorrow, Sal.
Good night, honey.
Ethan weaves through the traffic.
Hi, it's Julia. Please leave me a message.
Julia continues on her way out of the hospital. Ethan dials again on his mobile. The ward secretary picks up.
Sixth floor.
Sally, this is Ethan. I need to talk to Julia.
Hey, honey. She just went downstairs. I'll transfer you.
Julia stands in the shower. The phone rings in the changing room. Ethan swerves to avoid a gigantic truck. He now creates his own lane between the supporting pillars of the L-train track.
Excuse me. I was wondering if you knew where I might find this patient.
Probably not. But I'll know who can.
The dodgy English orderly places an adhesive patch on Julia's arm.
What's that?
Julia's eyes go funny and she swoons into the man's arms. Ethan screeches to a halt in the car park and runs as fast as he can into the building. He rushes into Julia's ward.
Sally, where's Julia? Julia?
I think she left. Have you tried the East building?
The orderly pushes Julia's covered body on a gurney. Ethan collides with it as he rushes in.
It's Julia.
I haven't seen her.
Mike. Have you seen Julia?
No.
Ethan dashes out into the car park. Ambulances are parked at the curb. He collides with a car. He rushes round, frantically looking in cars. He answers his phone.
It's yours?
You hung me outside of an airplane. You can always tell someone's character by the way they treat those they don't need to treat well. Don't threaten me. Just don't. The briefcase I picked up in Rome, the one you took from me, contains the location of the rabbit's foot. You're gonna get it and bring it to me. The rabbit's foot. Ethan, you had a watch last time I saw you. You have 48 hours starting on my mark.
Wait.
Now, call me at this number when you have it.
Just wait.
Julia's life for the rabbit's foot.
Wait.
You have 48 hours or she dies.
Wait.
Ethan is surrounded by a fleet of black SUVs.
We need you to come with us.
Pete, what the hell is this?
Sorry about that, Mr. Hunt. We were told to bring you in.
Get ready to transport.
Okay. Whoa, just not right now.
Ethan,
Ethan,
tell
get
me
in.
You
came.
We don't want to use force here. You know we will. Ethan, get in.
Just tell me you came
here. Ethan!
Got it left already. Okay.
Ethan makes a break for it. The others pursue at speed. He vaults over a vehicle but takes a bullet from one of his pursuers. He falls to the pavement, his face a mask of despair. He's disarmed and cuffed.
Cuffed.
Into a strangely clinical, steel-lined room, Ethan is wheeled on a gurney. The lower part of his face is clad in a strange leather muzzle. The orderlies leave, and into the room steps Brassel, followed by Musgrave. Brassel half smiles at Musgrave, and then turns to stare down at Ethan.
I reviewed the transcript of your Berlin operation. It's very interesting. It seems that Agent Ferris had some information she wished to share with you, but not with this agency, something you failed to report. You ordered the Vatican operation without proper approvals. That mission resulted in a catastrophic attack, and then you fled the scene. Now, I am not a stranger to disrespect. You don't get to where I am without developing a thick skin. But what I won't stand for, what I will lose sleep over, and I love my sleep, is the idea of an irresponsible rogue agent working in my office. So, I'm going to slow things way down here. You can look at me with those judgmental, incriminating eyes all you want, but I bullshit you not, I will bleed on the flag to make sure the stripes stay red.
Ethan, bound to the gurney, twitches and fidgets as if trying to escape or speak. Brassel walks calmly away. Musgrave remains.
I don't know what to say to you. Brassel's right. You're out of control. Look at me. Ethan, at least show me the courtesy of looking at me when I'm talking to you.
Ethan swivels his eyes towards Musgrave, who mouths the following words, which are subtitled. I intercepted Davian's call. I know he wants the rabbit's foot for Julia's life.
It's just, this is so disappointing.
Musgrave mouths, go to Shanghai, Feng Shan Apartments, 1406.
I wish there was something I could do to help you, but,
Musgrave slips a small metallic object into Ethan's hand.
Take him to the holding cell.
Three men appear and wheel Ethan away down the corridor. Ethan raises his head to look at Musgrave, who stands watching him go. The men wheel Ethan into a lift. The three men, all tough, impassive characters, stand at attention around the gurney. Suddenly, Ethan whips into action, using the small item given him by Musgrave as a weapon to take out the first of the three. His fists, elbows, and feet do for the rest. He knocks one of the men senseless with the emergency phone. He hits the alarm button. Leaping onto the gurney, he now removes a hatch in the ceiling of the lift and pulls himself out through into the dizzying shaft. He leaps out and clutches the cable and begins shinning up it. A man rushes in to where Brassel is on the phone.
Yes, sir, there's no need to panic. I'll get him back.
Sir, Ethan Hunt,
I know what happened. Give me the radio. This is Director Brassel. Ethan Hunt is attempting to escape the building using the West Cargo elevator. He must be stopped. I want Mendoza and Graham in the Situation Room right away.
I'm having the building surrounded, sir. I've got units posted at all the entrances.
This is Brassel again. I'm ordering a Code 6 lockdown. I repeat,
it's Hunt.
We're under Code 6.
I know it's Hunt.
Hunt was flagged on sub-basement 9. I want all security personnel down there now. Security channel's jammed.
Hunt must be holding down the transmit button.
Ethan crawls among the ductwork of an attic space, clutching the walkie-talkie handset. He emerges through the floor hatch in what appears to be a stationary cupboard. He now runs at speed through an open-plan office. Spotting a ghetto blaster on a counter, he places the walkie-talkie by the speaker. Brassel stares in disbelief.
You've got to be kidding me.
Ethan emerges from the door of an office building and runs full tilt through the traffic and away. At an airport, security guards mill around among the throngs of passengers. Passing close by the guards is a young man with long hair and sideboards wearing a woolly hat. It proves to be Ethan in disguise.
Mr. Pavel Sobotka.
Sobotka.
And you're flying to Shanghai.
Починю сім'я сьогодні небо. Я ти там.
I don't speak Czech. I'm sorry. I'll see about your flight.
Okay. Okay.
A caged bird sits on a balcony above a teeming city at night. A title reads Shanghai, China. Nathan, clean-shaven once again, walks agilely across the cluttered balcony of the building. The atrium of the building is a chaos of densely packed habitation. Ethan strolls along a corridor. He comes to a door marked 1406. He knocks. He pushes the door to no avail. He rips out a small piece of electrical wire and picks the lock. He enters cautiously what appears to be a deserted, low-rent flat. He looks around. He rips open drawers and opens cupboards. Hearing footsteps, he grabs a kitchen knife. As the door opens, he pushes against it, trapping the other person. It is Luther.
Don't kill me.
I'm sorry.
Musgrave told us about Julia. We're here to help.
To get your wife, you'll need the rabbit's foot. According to the plans from Davian's briefcase, it's in a laboratory on the 56th floor of the Heng Sheng Lu building, which is a nightmare for just about every reason.
They're a Chinese military contractor. We have no pull, no details. The good news is, whatever it is, the rabbit's foot's small so we can steal it. The bad news, we gotta steal it.
From a thief's point of view, this is worst case scenario. The security guards are all privately contracted former People's Liberation
Army. The only access to the lab is by a private elevator, and that can only be activated by persons inside the
lab. All of it surveilled by security cameras within the building.
Feel like the roof.
Four guards, full time, two on each rooftop.
Langley was a cakewalk compared to this.
That's the one. How tall is that building?
Why?
It's 162 meters, the highest point.
What about that? The building on the left, how tall is that one? It
says 226 meters.
226. Distance between the buildings?
47.55 meters across.
Ethan draws the outlines of the skyscrapers visible through the window onto the actual pane using a Chinagraph pencil. He appears to be making calculations relating to their comparative heights.
Ethan?
That's good. I think it's tall enough.
For what?
A fulcrum.
Oh, you could swing. No, wait. You could bounce right off the roof.
Yes, I could.
And if you made it to the rooftop, took out the guards and got the rabbit's foot, you can't just walk out of the lobby. What's your exit?
Base jump off the top. I need to shoot.
Even at 162, you're pushing minimum height for a jump.
Shoot opens any lower than that and you're dead.
What are you going to do? Land in the middle of Shanghai and hope no one notices?
Central Park's two blocks away.
Ethan, I'm not saying I have a better idea, but there's a point where bold becomes stupid. Now, we don't even know what this thing is. And you're talking about handing it over to a guy who provides terrorists with information?
Of course, I'm not suggesting that we just hand it over. We're going to tag the rabbit's foot so we can trace it and know where it is. Now, you know we can get that gear here. I just deliver it myself. We contact Musgrave, have the IMF trace a tag, order a raid, get the rabbit's foot back, grab Davian. Now, if I get out with Julia, we win. If I don't, then,
Ethan's eyes moisten.
It's 8:11. It's 8:12. And we have 2 hours before they kill my wife. Are you in or not?
Zen looks at the others. Declan and Luther look towards Ethan.
Of course we're in.
At the level of the tops of the Shanghai skyscrapers, the cars milling below appear like toys. The tallest of the buildings has a wide flat roof, sprouting satellite dishes and made of glass, through which shines bright electric light. On the very rim of this roof stands Ethan, calmly staring down into the abyss. Luther walks up behind him.
You got 18 minutes. You're gonna make it over there. You're gonna find a rabbit's foot, get back to the roof, radio me when you're ready to make the jump, and we're gonna come get you.
Thank you for coming.
That's my job.
Luther kneels on the edge of the roof, surveying the tops of the neighboring buildings through night vision binoculars. Ethan comes to the edge of the roof once more and faces inwards, seemingly preparing himself. Luther focuses binoculars on the opposite rooftop, spotting armed guards posted at several strategic positions.
Batter up.
Over the rooftops fly a volley of small balls. They land, bounce, and roll down the steep glass-pent roof of the target building. The guards look around, confused. Zen loads baseballs into the launcher.
Oh yeah, they're freaking out. Hit him again.
The guards point up to the top of their building. Luther nods almost imperceptibly to Ethan. Ethan acknowledges this and focuses down, apparently getting into the zone for what he is about to do. He takes a run up and launches himself off the building, attached only by a thin cable. As he falls through the air, the cable spools out from a reel fixed on the roof. The cable runs out and Ethan is jerked to a halt. He now swings through the air, shaving the side of the building and arcing up and up towards the roof of the target building. Reaching the apex of the arc, he unclips his cable and falls 20 feet down onto one of the roof panes. He now slides down the vertiginous slope of glass, picking off guards as he goes. Losing his gun, he slip slides down and down towards the gutter at the edge of the roof. It stops him just in the nick of time.
Okay.
He made it! He made it!
I knew he'd make it.
Luther conceals the emotion he is clearly feeling beneath bluff bravado. Ethan, meanwhile, picks himself up and moves carefully along the gutter high above the city.
I'm going in. I'll be out in 5 minutes.
Ethan runs up towards where the guards were posted. On street level sits a vehicle. Jen and Declan are inside.
It's been 12 minutes.
He's got 5 minutes left. If he doesn't call Davey in 5 minutes, Julia's dead.
Anything?
Negative.
How about you? Any good news?
No, nothing.
Oh, come on, Ethan.
In the seat next to Declan, Jen is whispering.
What is that?
When I was little, I had a cat. He used to run away all the time. It was just a prayer I'd say to bring him home.
Teach it to me.
I've got the rabbit's foot, but I can't make it to the roof.
What the hell do you mean you can't make it to the roof? Where are you?
Look up, look up, look up!
Ethan smashes through a window, opening his parachute.
Oh, shit!
It's way too low!
Declan speeds off. Luther, also in a vehicle, does likewise. Ethan, under fire, his parachute only half open, falls at terrifying speed. smashes through the window of an office, landing with his back on a desk. The parachute canopy continues to billow outside. Ethan carefully holds a clear canister carrying a radioactivity warning. He suddenly realizes that a cleaner is standing at the other side of the room, staring at him in disbelief. A gust of wind fills the parachute, dragging Ethan back out through the window. He continues tumbling downwards past brightly lit buildings and advertising hoardings towards what would appear to be certain death on the busy freeway below. His canopy snags on a lamppost. He ends up a meter off the ground, dangling from the parachute straps. He turns to see an enormous tanker slewing across the roadway in an attempt to avoid slamming straight into him. He undoes his buckle and drops to the roadway. The canister, however, slips from his grasp and rolls away. The tanker slides over the top of Ethan. He gets to his feet and dashes off in pursuit of the canister, which rolls precariously between the wheels of the speeding traffic. People stare and point as this crazy Westerner dodges vehicles and attempts to get across the teeming carriageway. As he finally grabs the canister, the bumper of an SUV stops, inches from his head.
Ethan! Get in the commie!
Who?
Building security and they're pissed!
Go, 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 go!
Ethan leaps into the vehicle, which then races off among the traffic. Several dour black cars speed after them.
How much time you got left?
Less than 2 minutes.
Ethan desperately tries to contact Davian.
You gotta get us out of here, I lost the signal!
You okay?
Not yet!
Their pursuers have shot out the rear window of the SUV. Zen grimly aims her pistol through the gaping hole. Passers-by cower as the mobile firefight speeds by through a busy and colourful market area.
I'm on it!
Zen continues shooting at their pursuers. She takes a bullet. And maneuvers at incredible speed so that there is a truck between himself and the security guard's posse of cars.
Put pressure on it. Tell me when you get a signal.
What are you doing?
Ethan clambers into the rear of the vehicle and, opening the door, leans far out and aims his pistol beneath the wheels of the truck. He bides his time until he has a clear bead on the tires of the leading black car and then deftly shoots them out. Losing control, the car hits a truck and rolls.
I got a signal!
Hit redial.
You only have 5 seconds left. Do you realize that?
The rabbit's foot. I have it.
The train yard at Anan Zong Lu. Wait for me there, alone.
Musgrave takes a call.
Yeah.
Go secure it.
We are.
I have the rabbit's foot.
You okay?
I'm tagging it now. You need to run a trace, make sure we have eyes on this thing.
What's the tag?
639641.
Got it.
Musgrave pulls up a satellite map on his screen.
I see you on Long Tao Lu Road.
If you don't hear from me, Nate, I wish you send an army after this thing.
Good luck.
You too.
The SUV speeds away into the neon-studded darkness of the Shanghai night.
Mr. Musgrave.
Yeah?
It's come to my attention that yesterday afternoon you sent a team to the Far East.
We received intel that Hadam Salim Bahar was en route to Shanghai.
Hadam Salim Bahar?
That's right.
You know what I'd love? I'd love to see that intel. I'll be in my office.
Yes, sir.
Brassel coldly exits the office, leaving Musgrave with a very grave expression on his face. Declan drives the SUV into an industrial area at one remove from the glittering skyline.
Thanks again. I'll see you back home.
You can. You know, they probably plan to kill you both.
Then I won't see you back home. Better get back.
Ethan pats Declan on the shoulder and walks stoically away, leaving the team, including Zhen, who clutches her wounded shoulder, looking deeply saddened. On an area of derelict ground, a number of fires are burning. Ethan stands in the cold light of dawn, clutching the canister in his hand. He checks his watch. He looks up to see an enormous white stretch limo pulling up. In the plush leather rear of the vehicle sits a tray of cut glasses. Ethan climbs in and sits. The driver's hatch slides down, revealing the bogus orderly who abducted Julia.
Drink it. No questions.
Ethan considers for a moment. He then leans across to the tray of glasses and fishes out from one of them a small corked phial of dark liquid. Popping the cork, he holds it in his hand. He glances towards the driver's hatch, now black and impenetrable. He downs the liquid. His eyes go slightly hazy. Images of Julia appear. He and she, scantily clad, embrace. Nathan, groggy and bound to a chair, is now coming round. A hand grabs his hair.
Good morning.
The odd-faced, curly-haired man from the Berlin factory inserts a strange gun up Ethan's nostril. All goes black for a moment, and then Ethan comes to. Opposite him stands Davian, next to Julia, bound and gagged.
You put an explosive charge in your head. Does that sound familiar? The rabbit's foot, where is it?
I gave it to you.
I'm gonna count to 10. You're gonna tell me where the rabbit's foot is. Or she dies.
A sleek jet taxis to a halt. The front steps unfurl with balletic grace. Out from the hatchway steps Jen, followed by Luther and Declan. They stop dead as they spot the enormous posse of armed men surrounding Brassel on the tarmac.
Seems we have a lot to talk about, don't we?
In Shanghai.
You guys! You think I'm playing? You don't think I'll do it? Where is it?
Look at me.
Where the hell is it?
Look at me, stay with
Seven.
Me.
Seven!
I am gonna kill you, I swear to God, I'm gonna-
Eight!
Please, don't do this. Just let her go. I promise you. I promise you. I can figure out how to get whatever-
Nine!
Please. Listen to me, I wanna help you get whatever you want. But you gotta do what's right. What you know is right. No, please. No. No.
10.
No! No!
Tears roll down Ethan's cheeks. He stares in disbelief at Julia's slumped body. Davian and his sidekick pack up and leave with a kind of grotesque professional gravitas. After a whispered conversation with another man at the door, the pair leave. Ethan continues staring ahead as this other man moves into the room, puts his case down on a side table, and sits down opposite. It is Musgrave.
It's complicated. You can't just open the canister. We had to make sure you brought the real thing. The rabbit's foot. Now we know.
Musgrave stands and moves over to the dead body, pulling her head back.
Don't you touch her! Don't you touch her!
Musgrave peels the gaffer tape gag from her mouth, pulling with it a layer of latex, revealing it is not Julia.
Davian's translator, his head of security. Remember? At the Vatican, she failed him. Ethan. Julia. is still alive. Davian wanted to kill you both, but I convinced him otherwise. Julia hasn't seen me. She doesn't know anything. She's clean. She can go on to have a life. As long as you tell me what was in Lindsay's message.
I know she sent you a microdot from Berlin.
Did Lindsay know about me and Davian? Is that why she sent the message to you? Did you read it? Did anyone else see it? Did she know about the work I was doing? Could I be compromised at IMF? Ethan. Did she buy that Brassel set her up? Did she buy that?
You told him. That's how Davian knew Lindsay was coming. You told him.
I thought you could get her back. But I wasn't gonna let Brassel, of all people, undo the work I'd done. I took action, Ethan. On behalf of the working families of our country, the armed forces, the White House, I'd had enough of Brassel and his sanctimony. IMF executive director. He's an affirmative action poster boy. You grabbed Davian like he wanted? Then what? Davian's a weed. You cut him out, two more spring up just like him the next day. Arrest him? Then what? You use him. Collaborate with him. And it's Christmas. In 18 hours, the rabbit's foot will be delivered to its Middle Eastern buyer, and we'll have credible intel to prove it. U.S. Security Council will get a report by this time tomorrow. We're talking a military strike within a week. And when the sand settles, our country will do what it does best. Clean up. Infrastructure. Democracy wins. What was Lindsay's message? You tell me. And Julia walks. It's the only play you have left.
Not until I hear her voice. No, she's alive.
Of course.
Musgrave pulls out a mobile phone. He dials and holds it to his ear.
Put her on.
He holds it to Ethan's ear.
Jules?
Ethan?
When we met, there was a lake near the mountain. What is the lake called?
Wanaka. Please, Ethan.
Jules.
Ethan, I don't understand.
Ethan sinks his teeth into Musgrave's hand. He grabs his tie and headbutts him. As Musgrave falls, Ethan swipes a pen from his pocket and strips it down to the refill, which he uses to pick the locks of his handcuffs. A phone rings at IMF.
Benjamin Dunn?
Benji, it's me.
Ethan.
What?
No.
Really?
Listen to me very carefully. I need your help.
I need a trace location.
The last call made from his phone.
No, look, Ethan,
just... Looking for, everyone's looking for you. Everyone I know, they're looking for... I just looked it up. Okay, you're on Interpol's most wanted list, and that, by the way, is a spectacular list to be on. Whatever happened, I'm sorry, but I'm hanging up right now.
I don't have time for this. What do you think happened? I've been set up. I think I like my job, okay? A lot. All right, and you know they're going to be taping this call. And you know you can erase it. I'm giving you the number right now. Are you ready?
All right, just hang on. I'm going to lose my citizenship because of this, you know?
734-425-64367.
Okay, wait, okay. Hold the line, please.
Benji saunters away from his desk, trying to look inconspicuous. Ethan passes through the doorway into a corridor, at the end of which a group of Chinese men sit in a smoke-filled room.
You there?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we can share a jail cell together, you know? If this all goes tits up, which it will. The location of that number is...
Shanghai. There, I just told you. Shanghai. I've just aided and abetted an enemy of the state. Fantastic, thank you.
Am I close? Use this phone to track my location.
Well, are you there? Well, you're close.
How close is the signal in the building?
No. It isn't coming from there.
It's in a building 1 mile to the northeast.
Reggie, lead me to the signal.
Ethan runs urgently up a curving staircase in what appears to be a dingy dwelling block. He emerges through a set of tall windows onto a wide expanse of grey tiled roofs.
That's one thing. What the hell are you doing in Shanghai?
I'll tell you when I see you.
Ethan leaps away across the roof and down several levels, across a lean-to and onto an arched stone bridge across a small river.
Okay, well, you need to go north. Okay, there's a bridge. Get to it, cross it. Make a left, go 3/4 of a mile along the river.
I got it. Don't cry!
Ethan sprints through a bustling colonnade along the riverside.
Good, that's right. Keep going. Make your next left, and then the next one, and then
follow that down 1,000 yards.
1,000 yards!
Okay. Left.
Yeah, that's good. Keep going.
Okay, now look.
Hiya.
Benji,
where?
Benji, which way do I go?
I take a right.
Ethan, clutching the phone to his ear, rounds a corner into a lorry.
Okay, go down left.
Left? I'm going left.
Good. It's in the second building on your left.
The signal bearing's plus or minus 3 meters from the northeast corner.
Ethan steps from the bustling narrow alleyway into the entranceway of a building. He stares around, bewildered. A group of old and middle-aged men sit around a table smoking and playing mahjong. They turn inscrutable gazes on Ethan. One of the men silently points towards the rear of the building. Ethan skirts the group cautiously and heads towards the back. The paraphernalia on the shelves suggests that it is some kind of clinic. He passes through into what appears to be a dentist's surgery. Through a rippled pane of glass, he spots a man moving. The man cocks his pistol and advances. Ethan attacks. Getting hold of the man's gun, he shoots another man who appears. Behind this man, he spots Julia, bound and gagged in a dentist's chair. Doing a sweep with his gun, he comes and kneels by her side. Ethan slumps onto the floor, clutching his head. Davian appears, standing next to him. He kicks Ethan's gun nonchalantly away across the floor. He tosses a small red plastic object onto the floor in front of Ethan.
I've activated the charge in your head.
No.
You have maybe 4 minutes left.
Davian viciously kicks and punches Ethan.
I told you she called your name.
Ethan's eyes widen in pain. Davian strips the gag from Julia's mouth.
Ethan!
Davian kicks Ethan out through a pair of glazed doors.
No.
I told you I was going to kill you in front of her. But I'm going to kill her in front of you.
Julia stares in terror. Davian reaches down and grabs Ethan by the arm. He drags him back through the surgery towards her. Ethan clutches his head in pain. On the floor near Julia lies the pistol. She stares in disbelief. Ethan grabs Davian by the leg, but only gets another vicious punch to the face. Davian moves with terrible slowness towards the gun. He stoops to pick it up. A look of the intensest despair passes between Julia and Ethan. Ethan blinks and then gazes at Julia's beautiful face. Seeming to draw superhuman reserves of energy from this, Ethan launches himself across the room. He sends Davian through a glass screen and heavily onto his back on the floor. He runs Davian against a filing cabinet. Still clutching his head, he uses his elbows to repeatedly smash Davian in the face. Davian reels. Ethan delivers a mighty punch. They crash through the doors and roll together out onto the street. Ethan looks up and then deftly spins Davian so he is uppermost and consequently sheared off by the large truck which passes inches above Ethan's head. One of Davian's shoes is all that remains on the roadway. Ethan staggers to his feet and heads back in to rescue Julia.
Ethan! You okay?
Good.
I don't understand what's going on, Ethan.
I know.
What do those men want from you? Why are we here?
How did you find me?
Please, Ethan, what the hell is going on? Are you okay?
What's wrong? I'm gonna tell you everything. You just stay with me.
Ethan staggers through into another part of the clinic.
Ethan, what's happening? What are you looking for? Gotta get out of here.
Not yet. They don't have one.
What?
A defibrillator.
A defibrillator? Ethan, who are these people? What the hell are we doing here?
Ethan trips a large electrical switch. He hands Julia his gun.
This is a Beretta 92M. It's a very accurate close-range weapon. Don't point at me.
Sorry.
It's 15 rounds. When the mag is empty, the slide will lock back like this.
How do you know so much about this?
To reload, push this button, the empty mag falls out. Shove the other one in, like the batteries in the flashlight in the kitchen. Then release the slide.
Why are you giving me a gun?
There could be others. If you have to use it, stay low. You identify your enemy. Point shoot. Very simple. Point shoot. Stand back. Good. I have a charge in my head. I'm going to die unless you kill me.
What?
Throw the switch on and off. Don't forget the off.
I can't do that.
You can bring me back. I'll come back. You have to! There's no time! Now! Please! I love you.
Julia throws the switch on and off as Ethan clutches two stout electrical cables. He instantly bites through a bunch of wooden spills he has placed between his teeth and falls unconscious to the floor. Julia presses herself against a set of shelves as into the surgery stalks a gunman. She slides around a corner and waits in terror. She spots a trolley with polished metal sides standing in the doorway. Sliding down to the floor, she is able to see reflected in the metal panel where the gunman is lurking in the adjacent room. The gunman falls dead. Julia, seemingly a natural, slips the magazine into the gun as Ethan showed her. She spins around and opens fire on Musgrave. Shocked, he falls to the ground. The rabbit's foot canister falls from his briefcase and rolls across the floor towards Julia. Julia now leans over Ethan and begins pumping at his heart with all her nursing skill.
Come on, baby. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Tommy. I need you to come back.
Despite her repeated pumping and application of the kiss of life, Ethan's body remains worryingly still. Julia sobs desperately. She now thumps down hard on Ethan's chest again and again. He sits bolt upright and grabs the gun. He stares along the barrel of the gun towards where Musgrave's corpse lies amid a shower of broken glass.
He did that?
Julia clings to Ethan's neck in ecstatic relief. On the river in Shanghai, little sampans bob. People fish with simple cane sticks. An old man sits in a deck chair reading the newspaper. Along the riverside colonnade walk Julia and Ethan, holding each other close.
So I was thinking you might want to tell me why we're in China.
I know. I work for an agency. It's called IMF.
What does that stand for?
Impossible Mission Force.
Shut up.
No, I'm not kidding. You don't understand everything I'm telling you. It's top secret.
You can trust me.
I know.
Just want to show my appreciation for your work.
Ethan pulls a sheet of paper out from the envelope Brassel hands him.
Call it reparations for anything I might have put you through. You should know the White House has contacted me. Now, there's a job that they are very interested in speaking with you about.
Thank you. But, I have a lot to think about.
You aren't considering quitting, are you, Ethan?
Considering going on my honeymoon.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing. Rabbit's foot. What is it?
Promise me you'll stay, I'll tell you.
Send you a postcard.
Fair enough.
Smiling back at Brassel, Ethan now walks off towards where Julia stands among the team, Luther, Zen, Declan, and also Benji. Luther hugs Julia, who then shakes hands with Zen and Declan. As Ethan pulls her away, Benji taps her on the shoulder and speaks eagerly to her. She smiles and walks off with Ethan. As they head off down the corridor towards the exit, the whole team, led by Luther, raise their arms in an extravagant victory salute. Ethan shakes his head and smiles. The end.